Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
It seems every year that Christmas comes and goes faster and faster. I remember how excited I was to see all of the presents under the star-top tree and the nativity on the mantle. This Christmas story isn't new to me. I know most of the characters: Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, shepherds, wise ruler. But I can't help to think, what do I think of it now? Is it just a good kid's story? Could this story I revisit every year be real? If this is a true story, then maybe the book isn't quite finished. Maybe there are chapters to be written, and I have a role to play. I wonder what my life would look like if I really believed that God's Son came to us as a baby. Not just in some fairy tale story, but in real life, to put us back in a right relationship with God. This Christmas, let's discover the unfolding story God has written for our lives.
So, what is the most interesting? I chose interesting because I didn't want to say best or worst, because those are not things we want to think about. Interesting Christmas gift that you've ever received or given. Gift giving is a big part of the way that we celebrate Christmas. And what's the most interesting? I've been blessed through the years. My family's been good to me, and I don't have a lot of strange stories to tell, except for a gift I gave. And it actually wasn't a Christmas gift. It was the gift for a friend of mine many, many years ago who had graduated from the University of Illinois and was being commissioned into the military, into the Army. And they had a kind of an informal party for him afterward. And my wife and I were on our way there, and we stopped to get some gas. And I went in, and I know it's a gas station. That should have been my first clue. But they also had a bakery section was there. And so I looked, and there was this cake. And it wasn't exactly this cake, but it was kind of like this cake. And I thought, that is so cool. I should pick that up, and I'll take it, and it will be awesome, and it's appropriate, and it'll just be my little, contribution. And so I bought it, and we took it there, and my friend was like, oh, that's so cool, man. And I thought, yeah, I thought so too. And then we got down, and we said a few words, and he went to cut the cake, and it was a styrofoam cake. It was a display cake. That's all it was, right? I haven't talked to, and he actually retired from the Army as a colonel, a Fulbright colonel, and somewhere tonight, if somebody asks him, what's the most interesting gift you've ever been given, or worst, he will point to that. In reality, this season is a celebration of the most incredible gift that any of us have ever received. There was a writer who came along after Jesus had ascended into heaven. This individual never met Jesus in person in the flesh, but he was caught up in the politics of the day and the religion of the day. He was climbing the ladder. He was a highly trained academic, and in life after Jesus had ascended, he met Christ, and it changed everything about his life. He's actually one of the most well-read authors of that time from 2,000 years ago. You know of him, and we know of him as the person we refer to as the Apostle Paul. And in the book of 2 Corinthians, he is encouraging people to be generous to each other and generous towards the gospel. And he summarizes it all with this phrase, thanks be unto God for his, now I'm not going to give you the word that he uses yet, because it's translated from the Greek a lot of different ways. And I'll give you a few of those, and I'll tell you the one that's used in the translation I'm going to look at tonight. Some people translate what he said as this word is for his indescribable gift. There's just no way to fully describe it. His inexpressible gift. His incomparable gift. His priceless gift. Thanks be unto God for his too wonderful for words gift. All of this is translated from that, from the Greek. Thanks be unto God for his gift that no language can praise enough. And then from the King James Bible, we have what I think is the most interesting translation of that word. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. That's interesting. And the reason that some translate it unspeakable is because there's just not enough words to describe everything that it is. This is a gift that is the most personal gift that's ever been given. This is for you, each one of us, individually. This gift changes everything. I think it's also unspeakable, at least this is the way I thought of it, because there are some times in life when there are things that seem too good to be true. And it's like, don't even say that. Have you ever had a moment where it's like, hey, don't say that unless you mean it, right? And we all know that sometimes when something seems too good to be true, it generally is unspeakable. But in the gift of Christ, you have three things that are indescribable that are yours and mine if we receive them. The first is this, the gift of his presence. I'm not talking about a thought or a theology or an idea or a philosophy. I'm talking about a tangible presence. From Matthew chapter 1, we read, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There will never be a moment in time when you do not have access to God. On your best day and your worst day, he's here. In moments of joy, in moments when you've had a moment of accomplishment, he's here. And on those long, dark nights of the soul, which may be where you're at this Christmas, he is here. Never to leave, never to forsake. That same writer, the Apostle Paul, who I mentioned earlier, said this, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And this man who never met Jesus in the flesh said, the Lord is near. He's here. He was there on your best day, there on your worst day. This is the most incredible gift that if we're not careful, we will miss. Let your gentleness be evident. All the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the face of life's certainties, in the face of life's mysteries, we have the gift of his presence. He's present at every one of our milestones in life. He's there. He's waiting. That's the great gift of his presence. Matter of fact, 700 or so years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote this, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And then looking down the corridors of time, he writes, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Family is wonderful. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Sometimes it's tough and there's difficulty. And that first sentence here is something that there'll be somebody watching or somebody in the room by the time we're done with this week who will have experienced that kind of rejection. And yet the promise all along was that he would be present. And he is. The second thing that causes me to think of this unspeakable gift is the gift of his redemption. Redemption. I change electronic components out begrudgingly. I would still have my BlackBerry if I hadn't been forced out of it. I like my computer, you know, and everything, and you get new equipment, and which I'm grateful to have, but yeah, and you're learning the whole thing again, and I learned on my new computer that I could redirect something that had happened, because sometimes I'll be doing something, I'll go, where did that go? You know, what happened? I didn't mean to do that. And I learned this incredible thing called Command-Z on my Apple. And it reverses what just happened automatically. Boom. If you deleted something, it brings it back. If you wrote something over something, it just brings it right back. I thought, man, I wish I had a Command-Z in my life. I wish it was real time, where I come in and I say something to my wife, and then I can go, oh, Command-Z, we'll just boom, bring that right back. I heard a comedian do a bit one time where he said he was in a movie, and he goes, I wish life was like that, where you could just say, cut, cut, we're going to do that scene over again, right? Because that's not the way it was supposed to go, but we don't have that. And Jesus moves in. When we accept this gift, he comes in to our present. He meets us right where we are. And he guides us into our future. But he also redeems our past. What kind of a gift is that? I mean, does it just go away? No, it don't go away. It's still there. It still happened. The thing that happened to you will still have happened to you. The thing that you happened to, that you may have done, that causes regret, well, no, that still happened, but he can come and redeem it, make something beautiful out of something that wasn't beautiful at all. In Matthew chapter 1, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins, and that includes redemption. The writer I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul, said in his letter to the Romans, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Over 3 decades of being a minister and walking with people and watching them as they try to weigh out the issues of life and often coming to their senses at a point when there's a past that feels like they're chained to it and they can never be free from it, God not only will free you, but he will take that and use it for his glory and your good. I've seen it over and over and over. And that thing that was the heaviest and the harshest and the most difficult becomes something that God has a way of turning around, his redemption. And then, his presence, his redemption, and eternal life. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know when eternal life starts, when it begins? It begins when you accept Christ. It's not something we wait for until we die. When we accept Christ, we can begin to live without having to hold on to everything that goes past, because we have eternal life in him. Because no matter what comes, we belong to him. We think of the many, many passages of Scripture that refer to heaven. And in this season in particular, I think I am most grateful for that promise of eternal life, because this is a tradition time. This is family and friends time. This is gathering time. And we know, and there'll be many of you for whom this might be that first Christmas without somebody. And that makes it tough. But in that moment, remember the reason for the season. Jesus came that we might have eternal life. We have a theater company in our church, Bridge Theater, and they did a play this last year called Over the River and Through the Woods this last fall. And this is the cast. It was cool. You'll hear more about that stuff later on. It was really, really cool. It's a story of a family. You've got a young man named Nick who's, that's an older aunt and uncle, and then grandparents, and then a young lady, and his parents have moved away, but he's in New Jersey, right, or New York, and he has lunch with these folks every Sunday, and so it's just familia, right? It's tengo familia. I have family. It was the whole thing. And they're working out. He's going to move away, and they go through a bunch of different stuff. But I was out of town when the program was actually on, but I was able to sit a couple nights before through a dress rehearsal. And so it was just me and a couple other people in the room, and it was dark, and all this was going on. And they get down near the end, and Nick begins to talk about how much at the end of the day they worked out their difficulties and how much they love family and how important, you know, tengo familia is and I have family. And then he says, over the next few years, and he begins to talk about each person in the room, specifically these four, and he says, and then something happened, and then that person would get up and walk out of the room. They had passed. And then, you know, it might have been the uncle, then it was the aunt, and he was expressing how special they were. And then before long, room was empty. And it hit me. I mean, I'm kind of sitting in the dark just watching this thing going, oh my goodness, that's kind of how life feels sometimes. Matter of fact, it's not kind of how it feels. It is how it feels. And this Christmas may find you in that moment of grief. Listen, remember, every time you see a light, whether it's a Christmas light or the light of a candle, remember that's why Jesus came, that we might have eternal life with him, that we can legitimately believe that we're going to see our loved ones again as we follow Christ. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, when he was facing his own death, said to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Eternal life. I remember, you remember I said eternal life starts when you accept Christ. And I remember as a very young pastor, there was a lady in our church named Ethel Weiskopf. She played the organ in this little country church. There were five of us our first Sunday. And she was there. She was just a sweet lady. And after a few months, things began to happen. The church began to grow. And it was just an exciting time. And Sister Ethel was so just amazed. I remember one time, her son-in-law, she had invited me over for lunch, and her son-in-law went with me, and he said, now, Grandma's from old school, man. I mean, she grew up during the Depression, and he said, now, she's going to offer you some iced tea, and you should drink it because it's amazing. And I said, okay, and she said, but she's going to ask you if you want ice in it, and you should say no, because Grandma reuses ice. And I said, thank you very much. That's good to know right there. I remember I was at a pastor's meeting the night the hospital called and said, Pastor, Sister Ethel wants to talk to you. She says she's going home tonight. And I said, what do you mean by home? Well, she thinks she's going to go to heaven tonight, and she just wants to talk to you. And I said, well, is she? And the nurse is like, I don't think so. Her vitals are fine. She's dealing with some stuff. And it could happen. But so I get on the phone, and she said, oh, Pastor, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. How's your meeting going? I said, good. She goes, did you see so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah. I said, Sister, you had the nurse call. You didn't have the nurse call me to ask about my meetings. She said, no, I'm going home tonight. And I said, you mean to 1316 address, you know, she's a pastor. Why would I want to go back there? And I said, well, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. She said, all due respect, this isn't got anything to do with you. He said that. So I prayed with her and I read scripture about how there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain. And she just said, amen. And we got off the phone. 45 minutes later, the phone rings and her daughter said, she's gone. Now, what a way to go, man. How incredible is it that we have, because of this child whose birth we celebrate, whose presence is with you right now, all we have to do is talk to him. All we have to do is open our heart and reach out to him. And it happens different ways for different people, but if you will open yourself up and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, speak to me, guide me, direct me, he's there and he will be about a process of redemption. And regardless, I've heard, I could tell you stories about like that one, with somebody approaching eternity with that kind of confidence. I can tell you the story of a 14-year-old girl who did the same thing. This isn't because she was just old and went, no. That's the beauty of this indescribable gift, this unspeakable gift, this incredible opportunity. But like any other gift, it has to be opened. How do you want to live your life? There's a lot of glitz and glamour and stuff. I watched a program one time where they went back behind the scenes at the Oscars. And you know, you see those big stages and all that stuff. And it was styrofoam. That's all it was. It was nothing. And if we're not careful, we get on the treadmill and we go. And we end up investing our life in something that at the end of the day isn't real. And so tonight, right here and right now, whether you're online or whether you're in this room, you have the opportunity to receive this gift. And if you have received it, it's time to celebrate it. It's time to thank God for it. It's time to be generous the way the Apostle Paul talked about it as we thank God for his unspeakable gift. I want to pray with you, and then I want to introduce you to somebody. Father, thank you for this moment. Your word says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them. And where there is someone who says, you know what, I want that presence. I need that redemption. And I want the reality of eternal life. Where there is someone who is at that corner, someone who's struggling. They may not even believe. They don't know what they believe or there's doubts and all of that. I just pray for a touch from you. I pray, Lord, that there'll be a moment that will be between you and them, that they would invite you in and ask you to forgive and come and allow you to begin to do the incredible work that comes as a result of your unspeakable gift. I ask that in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.